through summer and through fall. But the mortgage worked the hardest and the steadiest of us all. It worked on nights and Sunday, it worked each holiday. Settled down among us and it never went away. The farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down. The farmer is the man who feeds us all. If you'll only look and see, I know you will agree that the farmer is the man who feeds us all.
Everybody, nice seeing you again. Welcome to Pig Talk on WFMU. Matt and Kevin, who normally do the Gig Talk program at this time, are still away somewhere. And so I'm here again with my best friend Sluggo.
Whoa.
That's you.
I'm more than that.
I think best friend is like the best thing to be, isn't it?
Hmm.
I mean, you know, after all these years, we're still best friends. I think that's pretty special.
All right. I just, you know.
And then the listeners are our friends.
Yeah.
And they're here.
Okay.
And they will be foreseen and not heard. Jeff said that. Jeff M. upstairs said that today. So
Jeff
we have to give
M.
him credit. He is a card, is he not?
He is Sharpie.
He is. Anyway, we're here to get all agricultural with you from now until 7 p.m. with Pig Talk. And although we are not taking calls, please do feel free to chime in on the comments board at WFMU.org, because we do read every comment, and I keep all these things and ponder them in my heart. So let's start today's show with our segment on long-haul trucking, Rig Talk on Pig Talk. How's
pig
that?
Talk.
That sounded fancy, didn't it?
That sounded like a real thing.
Okay, what is a real thing? Because we've done it three weeks in a row now. We've done rig talk, and we've talked about the long-haul trucking industry in Canada and the western U.S.
Yes.
And the first week we were on, we talked about how it's becoming increasingly dominated by Punjabis. And I think you said Sikhs, but it's not actually, I mean, I don't think all Punjabis are Sikhs.
No, I don't think
so. A lot of them are. There are a lot of Sikh truckers.
But the majority of the Punjabi truckers, I believe, are Sikhs, or at least that's what the article I read led me to believe.
Okay, and that's all we can go on, really, is somebody wrote an article somewhere, and we read it, and that's what we think.
As Will Rogers eloquently put it, yes. I only know what I read in the papers,
that's
folks.
That's right. Except I don't trust... Well, anyway, the newspapers. But, I mean, I'm sure you read it somewhere else, like online. All I know is what I read on the internet.
I read it in The Economist.
Oh, that's fancy.
Ooh la la.
Indeed. And we talked about how they have their own truck driving songs, which are pretty great. Bhangra truck driving songs are the new thing. We talked about the electric semis of the future. The semi-trucks are going
to
be electric.
I'd like to say semi.
Okay, semis.
Is that electric like a regional
semis?
Thing?
I don't know. I say root, so who can say, you know?
I say root. Semi-truck.
Semi. Semi-truck?
Well, I guess I'd say a semi-truck.
Semis?
No, I say semi-truck.
You'd say semi?
I say semi-truck,
all right. Well, maybe that's correct. And
It
know,
probably
where you are. How do the how do the Punjabis say it? We don't know.
I can't pronounce it.
See? Now they're going to have self-driving.
I have thumbs for a tongue.
I'm sorry, what? That's kind of horrifying. I never noticed that after all these years.
My tongue is all thumbs, is what I was trying to say.
That was kind of.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
I think you have something for brains.
Decepticon
grill logos we talked about.
Yes.
But today we're going to talk about a new thing. We're going to talk about self-driving. Semis. And
yes.
you might think that will happen sometime in the future. Sometime
where we will all live
for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
After we get our jet packs and our flying cars. But then you would be wrong, because self-driving long-haul trucks already exist.
Yes, they do.
All right. You want to tell us about that?
Well, okay. I would like to if I would
stop
coughing on mic.
Why don't you drink some of that
delicious
that sour water that you bought? Oh, you're finishing your coffee. Can I?
Yeah,
have some,
I don't know what
can
happened.
Can I have some of the sour water?
You can have some of the sour water.
I'll give
sour,
it back.
Fizzy sour water.
Well, I'm sure that you thought when you bought this stuff, and it's called Spindrift, which
Spindrift is
not the greatest.
What
name.
A horrible name!
Yeah, right. And I actually had this last week, and I'm sure it's like a lemon flavor, and you think, oh, it's going to be like lemon seltzer.
Right.
But in fact, it's like lemon juice with some sparkly seltzer in it. It's really sour. Okay, I'm going to have some.
Delicious.
Whoa. Delicious and sour.
Did it wake you up?
Yeah. Boy.
Let me get a swig of that.
Yeah, have some of that. See? Sour, right?
Mm, but good.
It's refreshing.
It's not like the carbonated vinegar that I had over at that Danish restaurant that you dragged me to.
Aaron, for our anniversary. That was the most amazing dinner. We went to Aaron in Grand Central for our anniversary dinner this year, and the dinner, which was amazing, we had the tasting menu, and the dinner cost as much as the first car that I ever bought.
And
which was
1927.
No. I mean,
$50.
The first car I ever bought for myself was a used Nissan back in, like, the 80s or something. So, yeah, it was a pretty beat car. But, I mean, I couldn't believe that luckily your mom, you know,
she ponied up for our anniversary dinner.
So, but anyway, Aaron is pretty amazing. But they do serve something there called, was it called drinking vinegar?
I forgot what it was.
I think
called.
It actually had vinegar in the
it
title.
It was literally, carbonated vinegar.
Yeah,
it was so disgusting.
Yeah, don't drink that.
Actually, it wasn't too bad. But
well, I mean,
was,
you said at the time that you kind of liked it,
I
which
kind of
surprised
liked
me because you don't like sour.
I don't
things.
Like sour stuff. But it was actually like a dram. a vinegar with a ton of seltzer.
It had fruit juice.
And it had some fruit. Yeah, that's what they were rooking me with this.
Yeah, like you think.
Yeah, it was like blueberry vinegar soda.
Yeah, don't have that.
I was like, okay, I'll do anything once.
Well, when you want to spend that much money, you should definitely eat there. But
you know that
you
same
not drink
that
stuff.
Same denomination that you're using for
the car.
Yeah, I used to use a similar one, which was anything computer related in the 90s. Because no matter what it was, it cost you $500.
That's
whether
right.
it was a new drive or everything a new motherboard or something, it was always $500.
Yeah, so. I used to use, you know, a car as a unit of monetary
measure.
Unit. Yeah, and I would say, oh, I bought this piece of art and it cost 14 cars. You know,
yes.
That was crazy, right?
That's quite a fleet.
Yeah. All right, so anyway,
getting
speaking
back
of
to fleets.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So
trucks.
So here we are. We are living in a bold new world where
trucks drive themselves.
Not only do we have electric trucks, as we discussed, we now have self-driving trucks, and so basically robot trucks. And
so robots are driving the trucks?
Yes.
Okay. And now I'm concerned about this, like. They're big trucks, right? They're big.
They're semis. They're big.
Semi-trucks.
Yeah. And,
okay.
And one company, like the first startup that's doing this, they're called Embark, and they're distributing Frigidaire refrigerators from El Paso to Palm Springs. So that's like a 650-mile route.
It's route or root, depending on what you're saying.
Mm.
But if it's a highway, then it's a route.
No, it's a route.
Well, it's a route if it's a regular delivery.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a route. Okay. So they're driving, these self-driving trucks full of refrigerators are going from Texas to California?
From El Paso style.
El Intercepted Paso.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so if you think about it, it's a semi filled
with refrigerators.
With refrigerators, which is not a light load.
And nobody's driving. Well, I mean, the robot is driving. Okay.
Now, they do have, for a measure of safety, they have a human co-pilot.
That's lucky. Is the human co-pilot like on their phone all the time and
probably
watching videos and stuff? The way the human co-pilots of the Tesla cars that strike and kill pedestrians are doing all the time?
Yeah, I would think because their trucks are so elevated, the cabs are so elevated that they're probably watching porn. And because no one can see, right? Because they're above all the other traffic.
Right. Very likely.
Yeah, so they could be doing all kinds of stuff, you know, water sports, who knows?
The robot truck is on the road.
Yes.
It's on the highway.
It's on the road.
Right now.
Yes.
I think it's going on.
I think
that's terrifying.
The future has arrived. It's not just coming. It's already here.
Okay.
So,
good to know.
What they do is with this company, Embark, they're shipping these refrigerators. And Uber is in on this.
Of course.
They're called Uber Freight, and they've been delivering beer in Colorado for about a year now. And
well, that's good because all the people in Colorado are high on
meth.
On legal marijuana.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
It's probably safer to have a robot truck than somebody who's like, you know,
all high.
Get a little stoned.
Little stoned.
Drive a truck.
Yeah, I guess. So you have robots driving your beer all around Colorado.
Okay.
And
And soon they'll be here. And then will they put all the Punjabis out of business because the robots will take over?
Well,
and then the Punjabis will have to protest the robot trucks?
That's an interesting thing because, of course, the Teamsters are a little irritated by this concept.
I suppose.
Right now, the automated trucks or the robot trucks can't really navigate real street traffic. So they're
so
really,
they just put them out on the highway at 60 miles an hour because that's safer?
That's safer because, you know, they're all they're stuck in one lane. And,
oh,
you know,
God.
Out west, uh-huh. you know, the highways are like straight lines.
I mean,
it's not like the East Coast, you know, where yeah. everything is just a clover.
It used to be a cow path in
yeah.
the 1700s, and
exactly.
now it's a major highway. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So, and it was built for cars that went 30 miles an hour.
Right.
So,
the Holland Tunnel,
yeah.
for example. Yes.
So, the thing is that there are these hubs. So,
mm-hmm.
there's a hub in El Paso,
uh-huh.
and then there's a hub in Palm Springs. And so, the truck... does.
Just knows to go back
yeah.
and forth.
And, yeah, and it just, you know, like that's the majority of the travel. And then an actual human takes over and drives the truck. Or they
when they get into the town,
yeah,
the
when
actual
they get
human
into the,
drives
when they
it.
Get into the hub, they,
mm-hmm.
you know, they detach the semi
mm-hmm.
and they reattach it to a normal human driving truck.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do the delivery.
Yeah, I'm sure the co-driver in the robot truck
is just
completely
totally
messed up
wasted.
The whole time.
Yeah. Yes.
It's not paying any attention.
And twittering like crazy.
Yep.
Yeah.
You want to play the Punjabi Trucker song for this week?
I sure would.
Did you have more that you wanted to say about this?
I had more,
I,
but
I
that's
like
okay.
I feel like I'm done.
I feel like I'm done, too. Although
I'm sorry,
I did
no,
want...
You want to do some numbers or something? I mean, something fancy?
Nah.
Really?
I think we did. We covered it. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, Google is also doing it.
They have self-driving trucks?
They have them as well because, remember, they were doing the self-driving car.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they're...
they're doing
darn.
Trucks. They're doing
yeah.
semi-trucks?
Yeah, semi-trucks. They're called... I think they're called Waymo is the name
oh,
of the
spin-off. Oh, you know what?
Company.
Okay, you know what?
Mm.
You know, on our playlist from last week on Pig mm-hmm. Talk, we have pictures of President Trump in a big truck.
Big truck.
Big
Trump.
Truck. Big truck Trump.
Big truck Trump.
And that event where they brought a Big Mac truck to the White House for him to crawl around in and play that he was driving it. was actually an event against Waymo. They were asking President Trump to intervene against self-driving trucks.
Right.
So, yeah.
He's like, yeah, what's my kickback?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
why should I? And they said, well, we'll let you get up in the big truck cab if you stop these guys. And go, oh.
Yes.
All right.
Well, yes. So there's a lot more of that coming. In down the road in the future, and
we will for the rest of our lives.
And of course,
yeah.
everyone is freaking out because you know they don't know how it's going to work out. But you know,
we'll find out when it happens.
Yes,
play that
funky
Punjabi.
Music.
Play the Punjabi funky truck driver music.
Play that Punjabi music, white
you got
boy.
It up?
Let me just check one thing to make sure it's
okay.
not all messed up. Let's click the.
When
mixer.
You say yes, I'll put it. On.
I'm going to say yes.
All right.
Shall I click it?
You click it.
Click it. Yo.
I'm not hearing it.
I'm not hearing it either.
Okay, so...
Oh, what?
What?
Slow down.
What?
Stop.
Stop.
I'm starting it again.
All right.
Chalo bhi toro gaddiyan.
Yeah.
Dekh lai jaane ho.
Thank God.
Oye, chotiya.
Truck driving music.
In the house.
Chal maar gaddi nu kera self kar la fir tatti.
I love that part where you have like the traffic sound in the background of that song.
Yeah, that
really makes it, right?
That is a good moment of realism.
Mm. So that's a Punjabi truck driver song, and that one has it's off YouTube, and you can go onto YouTube and just look for Punjabi truck driver songs, and you'll find lots of them. They're all great. And this video has lots of beauty shots of this one particular truck, the Spider-Man truck. And it's got shots of the Canadian and U.S. flags. And then it's got one shot of an open book with the caption, "Your name, O transcendent Lord, is ambrosial nectar. Whoever meditates on it lives." And that's something I thought that you don't often see in the video of a traditional American truck driving song. But as Sluggo pointed out, actually, they have a lot of Bible stuff sometimes in those. So.
And Jesus is helping them drive
Helping drive the big rig. Yep, Jesus is on the road with them. So I was wondering if the robots take over driving the long-haul trucks, if there will be robot truck driver songs.
Of course there will be, because eventually autonomous vehicles, which is the other word for self-driving.
Oh, autonomous, yeah. That's
autonomous
good.
Vehicles.
Uh-huh.
Well, they're obviously too dumb to drive in, you know, cities and towns.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to give them, like, something that can learn. So they're going to give them artificial intelligence.
Oh, they'll have AI.
They'll have AI. And, of course,
once they get that, it's just a matter of weeks before they start writing their own music.
Exactly, because they're going to be, like, bored out of their minds doing this all day long. Night long, because that's the other appeal to this,
is
that it's a
24-hour
thing and they don't have to do any bennies in order to stay up.
Exactly. So what do you think robot trucker music would sound like?
I think it would sound like this.
This is so stupid.
Can you feel it?
This is so dumb.
This is
beep, boop, beep, boop, beep.
They're robots. This is how they communicate. It's just like an insanely, like, pathos-driven love song.
It's supposed to be a truck driver song.
Yeah, he's in love with his big rig.
Oh, that's right. That was lovely. Okay, that's it. We got to move along. We got a lot to cover today. We got sports. We've got recipes.
Jeez
Louise.
We've
got agricultural science. We got all kinds of stuff. I'm almost ready to cut the sports section, but I think, you know, I spent like hours writing this whole thing that I'm going to throw out anyway because I don't want to talk about all this. But
yes,
it is time for our pigskin report on Pig Talk. And the last past week, the National Football League passed their own private rule that said that if any players take a knee during the national anthem, then their team is going to be fined. See, so it's not the individual player. So what happens now is that makes it up to each individual team to suppress the player's free speech rights.
Wait, who's going to fine them?
Well, the league is going to fine the team.
The league?
The league will fine the team if any of the team's players kneel on the field during the national anthem.
If they take a knee.
What's wrong with taking a knee? It's not disrespectful. But what's your question?
My question is, the league is...
Mm-hmm. The NFL.
Is the NFL.
Yeah.
But isn't that a confederation of teams? I mean...
Yeah.
Aren't like the team bosses a big part of the NFL?
Yes. The team owners had to approve this rule.
Because I know the Jets owner is like, I don't care.
Johnson? Is that the Jets owner? Yeah, the Jets owner said, yeah.
I mean, they suck, but...
Yeah,
you know,
but
he said
he wasn't going to fine his, he would pay the fine if his players choose to do that.
And then I would take it to court. I mean,
well,
money bags.
That's the thing. See, going to court is like if the Players Association wants to sue for the players' rights to free speech, now they're going to have to sue each individual team. They're not going to be able to sue the league as a whole.
Oh, so it's like that whole like sleazy thing about like mandatory arbitration that they make people sign. And they're limiting class action suits too, right? I mean, I think that's in the works.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So, So unification, they're doing their best to crush it.
Yeah.
Which means it must be a good thing.
Well, I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, unions
unify
are good.
Everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, somebody sent me a clipping from a newspaper in 1934, newspaper that said that the Karlsruhe Football Club in Germany was suspended from playing for an entire year because they didn't all give the Nazi salute when they ran onto the field to play a game.
Mm.
And they were like, gee, isn't that kind of like what the NFL is doing? It's kind of like...
Well, yeah.
That's what the last couple of years have been all about. Yeah, if you want to, and taking a knee during the anthem is not disrespectful. Taking a knee is like during a football game you take a knee. That's not a disrespectful thing. It's like,
well, Mr. Tebow was able to take a knee about his stance on abortion.
Tim Tebow was taking a knee all the time.
And that's cool for him.
Yeah, it's cool for him because he was doing it for Jesus and stuff.
Because he's Jesus and he's white.
Yeah. So the beginnings of taking a knee during the anthem, it's not a protest against the national anthem. It's a protest against racism. And that's what Colin Kaepernick, who was a quarterback and started this a couple years ago, was doing. He took a knee, a respectful knee during the anthem, to just say, you know, there's a lot of racism going on.
So here's to prove the point.
Okay.
Nail it.
Yes.
So the unborn baby's lives are more important than black lives.
Yeah, but what about unborn black babies?
Well, you know, it's Tebow. He's a white guy.
Oh, right.
So the assumption would be white babies. Beautiful
right.
white babies.
Exactly. I don't know. It's like Colin Kaepernick, he just won Amnesty International's highest award. He got named an ambassador of conscience because he started this, but he's still out of a job. It's like the team, no team will hire him, and he's a good quarterback. He's better than a lot of the guys they're hiring. I mean, he's not you know, super awesome quarterback. He might not be Hall of Fame quarterback, but he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
He's not Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, he's good.
He's...
and remember when, Chris Klui got fired as a punter for the Vikings because he advocated same-sex marriage rights.
Yeah.
And they fired him, and he never got another job. And he was a really good punter.
Yes.
So it's like if you... I don't know who's running this show, you know, like if.
Well, the thing that blows my mind is like all of this is this bogus, hypocritical family values, you know, patriotism, rah, rah, rah. Mm-hmm. And it's such absolute BS. I mean, we've all known it was absolute BS, but come on, it's so blatant. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It boggles my mind because I know so many tight-faced Christians who
tight-faced. Who yes. are,
oh, you're so horrible for saying that horrible thing. I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, their great white God is this disgusting beast that's basic.
What? You're getting off on something. I don't know if I want to get off on that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I mean, you know.
I'm just talking about the hypocritical.
Okay, the hypocritical people. Yes.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thanks for bringing
Christians,
me in.
Christians are not bad.
Oh, no.
You know that.
Yeah, no, I'm...
You're just talking about hypocrites.
Yes, and unfortunately the hypocrites speak the loudest because you know what? If you're a real Christian, you're not doing that kind of nonsense.
That's true. If you're a real Christian,
you're busy helping the poor.
Yeah, you're busy helping the poor, and you'd be
administering to the sick,
and you'd be fighting
the needy,
fighting for civil rights and racial justice.
Yeah, you're not going on about people not saluting the flag in the appropriate manner. Because if you were actually really a follower of Christ, you would not believe in any sort of national organization whatsoever. All right. Sorry.
You're getting carried away.
I'm getting carried away again.
I know. Let's get back to pigskin.
Keep me away from the coffee.
That's all right. Oh, I can't. You got it over there, and I can't take it from you.
So good.
So I looked up the new NFL rule because I wanted to make sure exactly what it said, and I still can't quite tell if the players are forbidden from just taking a knee during the national anthem. And you know that, like, most sporting events in other countries, they don't start with their national anthem. America is, like, the only country that does that for every sporting event. It's really kind of weird. Anyway, so as far as I could tell, it was just taking a knee, though. And if they don't want to go on the field and stand for the anthem, they can stay in the locker room and then come out afterwards.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Let's say I decided I was, some white supremacist dude.
Yeah.
And I'm playing, like, I'm a linebacker for some team.
Okay.
Can I Sieg Heil the flag and my true belief of the supremacy of our great nation?
I don't know. Maybe.
Would that be allowed?
Maybe. I was thinking, like, remember Tommy Smith and John Carlos? They were in the Mexico City Olympics in 1968.
They stood up
on the medal.
Black power.
Yep. Well, mm-hmm. They said it wasn't a black power salute, but they put black gloves on and raised their fists in the air when the anthem was played, right?
Well, the thing is the idea of black power is not an intrinsically, antagonistic thing. It's just it's not like, kill whitey. That's not what black power is about.
No. But I mean, and I think, as far as I can tell, I think NFL players could do that. If they didn't want to take a knee, I think they could do that. I think they could turn their backs on the field. They could dab, you know.
And then they'll just come up with another rule.
I know.
You know?
I know.
It's just kind of like it's seriously
awful. We gotta move along.
Okay, sorry.
We got to move along. We got agricultural science coming up.
I love science.
But I do too. We're going to play a song to get us all ready for it. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a country song. Get us back to the country. Back to Pig Talk on WFMU.
Goodbye, Joe. Gotta go your mile. You gotta go pull the hero gun down the mile. Son of a gun, we'll have fun on the bio. Jambalaya, crawfish pie, filet gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna see my show. Pick your top, fill your jar, and go. Son of a gun, we'll have fun on the bio. My show, you gotta go be your model. That old polar hero gone down the mile. My thumb, sweetest one, the Ohio. The gun will have been fun on the bio. The jambalaya, crawfish pie, filet gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna have my share of the kick guitar, filthy jar, and the son of a gun, we'll have fun on the bio.
Yeehaw! There, Jambalaya by Junkyard Genius. I like this CD, and it's in our new bin, but I guess the album actually came out in like 2005 or something.
Yeah, I got to figure out a way to get it. It's really fantastic.
It's really good. There's a lot of good stuff on here. That is the only farm-related kind of song on it, but there's a lot of great stuff on that. Junkyard Genius, and that was Jambalaya. All right. Back to agricultural science now. This is a segment of the show where we tell you about a scientific way to interact with farm animals as discovered by scientists and experts and farmers.
Don't be a jerk.
No, be a farmer.
Oh.
This week, as described by noted science writer Mary Roach.
Hmm.
And she's the author of a number of science books, including two about death.
We're big fans of death,
aren't
we?
It's another interest of mine, yeah. Pigs, farming, death, the Danish language, and perfume. Those are kind of my big five interests. Anyway, in her book Spook, Mary Roach describes an experiment in bovine terror. Although she calls it an experiment to prove the considerable curiosity of cows. So we're talking about cows this week in agricultural science. We're not talking about pigs this week. You can try this out for yourself the next time you're in a field with some cows. So here's Mary Roach's description of her experimental methodology, which I copied out exactly from her book, Spook. Okay, here we go. Go into a pasture where cows are grazing in the distance. Shout to get their attention, and then suddenly lie down. The moment you do, they will hurry over to investigate, encircling you and staring down at you with unmitigated bovine fascination.
Hmm.
Does that sound cool? I want to try that right now.
But...
what?
Is there a reason why they do that? I mean, besides being curious, I mean, are they is there like an overwhelming concern or something? Or are they...
well,
like,
we'll have to try and see.
Okay.
I don't know.
I like cows.
I like cows. And you know what?
I had a cow step on my foot once.
Did you? You were actually near a cow?
Yeah.
You?
It's where crazy.
Where were you near a cow?
Oh, my friend of the family's, he had a farm up in Maine. Mm-hmm. Well, not really a farm, but yeah. He had some animals, and he had a cow. And she stepped on my foot, and mm-hmm. fortunately, I was on soft ground, so she didn't crush anything.
That's
if
lucky.
I was on hard ground, I would have had a broken
heavy.
Foot.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is something now, a report in the news today, ripped from today's headlines.
Ouch.
City people are paying $300 a piece to pet a cow. So you got to pet a cow for free. But
well,
now
they're
paying $300 to go upstate in New York and pet a cow.
I'm sorry, but city people are stupid.
I know, right?
Oh, my God.
And they were explaining why this was good for you. It's like called cow cuddling. And it's $300 a person, and the place that's advertising, well, they're not advertising, they're getting stories about it in the newspaper.
Mm,
they said,
free.
Yeah, they said that they're going to have an equine expert on site.
But
exactly.
Cows are bovine.
Exactly. Equine is horses.
Yeah, that's horses.
So they're going to have a horse expert.
So what ignorant reporter
you,
from the New York Times?
That's the person who is running the thing.
Oh, my God. So you know what that is? That is a city person who
running,
moved up in the country.
Exactly.
Bought some stuff. As like,
got a cow and said, how am I going to pay for this?
I know a bunch of suckers down in Chelsea.
Yep.
And they'll do anything I tell them because it's going to be like glamping.
We got to hurry.
Okay.
I had a thing I was going to play. I can't play it. We don't have time.
I'm sorry.
We're skipping all sorts of stuff now.
I got a big mouth.
I'm sorry. No, this was good. I'm glad we talked about all these things today on PigTok. I got the recipe of the week. Let's go to that because I don't want to miss this because I told people I was going to give them a recipe today for lard biscuits.
Oh, man.
Lard biscuits. Lard is healthy.
Bronwyn knows her way around baking. That's like true. You wouldn't believe, folks.
Thank you, honey.
Oh, yeah.
And my Grammy taught me to use lard.
And she was no fool.
Lard is healthy. Lard is good for you. You can look that up. I'm not.
Pray tell.
And Prevention Magazine says lard is good for you. And that's that little magazine that they sell by the checkout counter in the grocery store.
Is that the one that started the gluten panic?
Probably. Yes. And now they're telling you that lard is good. So you know if they say so, that it's got to be great. But you don't want to buy the poisonous box of Armour brand lard that they sell in the store.
Okay.
That stuff will kill you.
Why?
It's full of preservatives and it's hydrogenated and it's nasty. It's all the things that you don't want lard to be.
Mm.
It's all the things that you read that you're baking with lard to get away from.
Right.
Right. So you want to go straight to your fancy-ass Brooklyn hipster butcher and get you some leaf lard. Leaf lard
is really great.
It's the best. It is very pure. It's the most delicious lard there is. It comes straight out of the pig's belly, right from around the kidneys.
Even I noticed the difference.
Exactly.
And
right?
I'm a knuckle-dragging Neanderthal.
And if you're... Exactly. Leaf lard is the stuff to have. So if you're going to be doing any serious lard baking, like for a pie crust or something like that, you want to use leaf lard.
You know, for some weird reason, when you say leaf lard, I envision a clover leaf jellyfish.
Okay.
I don't
know
why.
You can envision that. That's all right. It has nothing to do with lard, which is white and
yeah,
kind of like looks kind of like Crisco.
Yeah.
But isn't hydrogenated and is very good for you. Full
it's really tasty.
It's very delicious.
Flaky crust.
Exactly. And you can make biscuits with it. So what you do, it's only got 5 ingredients. So easy, right? You get 2 cups of flour and 1 tablespoon of baking powder and 1 teaspoon of salt and 1/3 cup of leaf lard and 2/3 cup of milk. And you preheat your oven to 450 degrees and you whisk together the flour and the baking powder and the salt in a big bowl And then you use your fingers and you cut the lard into the flour mixture till it looks like meal. And then you use a fork and you gently stir in the milk until it makes a real soft dough. And then you get some flowers on your hands so they won't stick, and you knead the dough real gently inside the bowl, like for four times, and then you take the dough out and put it on a floured board, and you pat it down to where it's about a half inch thick, and then you have to cut it with your biscuit cutter and put the rounds about an inch apart on an ungreased baking sheet, and you bake them for about 12 minutes, and that is something really delicious made with lard.
Yahoo!
There you go.
Now we know that.
Now we know that. What else do we know?
We know that.
Maybe I could play this thing. I wanted to play this. I just want to do this. This has really nothing to do with pigs.
All right.
Is that okay?
I guess.
I got this. I saw this record at the record store.
Oh, you've got to play it.
Yeah.
You've got to play it.
Okay, this is a record from the record store, and I bought it just to bring out here and play on Pig Talk, even though it has nothing to do with pigs, but it does have to do with writing. So it's for writers. This is for all the people in the FMU Literary Guild.
Dear Mr. Herbert, we are returning your manuscript. You have a good story, and with a few exceptions, it is well written. There are, however, several changes we would like you to make before we consider it again. First, there is too much description in your opening chapter. If you are a well-known writer, or if the description is both interesting and necessary to an appreciation of what comes later, then your readers will probably be persuaded to wade through it. But this is not the case here. Our own readers agree that the story actually starts on page 7. Then why not start it there? Your characters are all well described and defined, except Carlo. There is no description of him at all, and yet his character and his motives turn out to be an important part of the book. We feel that you should make Carlo as vivid as you have made the other characters. The dream sequence in Chapter 8 is very confusing. As far as we can determine, it is supposed to show the state of Carlo's emotions regarding Ethel. Yet, it is so vague and full of contradictions, it actually does not show us anything. Either leave the dream out or make it more logical. We think you should leave it out. Carlo's wife is called Mary in most places of your script, but several times you have called her Marie. We have marked this where we noticed it. We all enjoyed the picnic scene. The dialogue is natural, and the plot is carried forward very nicely. When you make the above changes, send the manuscript back to us. We are always eager to find new authors, and you have a very good writing style. We are fairly certain that if you make the suggested changes as well as we think you can make them, we will be able to publish your book. Sincerely yours.
Well, there you go.
Well, now I understand.
Now you know what to do with your dream sequence.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
My style's really good.
So weird. What happened to our chicken? There he is.
What happened to Carlo?
I don't know.
He wasn't well described.
He wasn't well described, and something about his feelings for Ethel.
Ethel.
I love this. Okay, so this is actual business letters, was what that was.
It's an exciting album.
Practice your steno. Yeah, you know, I had to buy this album, and now I've played one cut off it, and now I'm going to just donate it to the station because I don't even own a turntable. I just saw it, and I thought, that is so awesome. I have to have it.
It definitely was worth the investment.
Yep.
And it went to a worthy cause.
Yep. That'll be here in the WFMU library from now on. So anyway, finally, I want to look up our poison crop report.
I love poison crops.
Yeah, it turned out to be like a segment. I didn't expect it to, but it did. Poison crop report. It turns out that this week's poison crop report comes from the pig.
Oh, no.
The Hormel Foods Corp of Fremont, Nebraska.
The great people will bring us that chili that's good enough.
That chili that you love.
That's perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine chili.
Perfectly fine chili.
As we discussed the first week. They have recalled 228,614 pounds of Spam Classic.
Whoa.
As opposed to Spam Pomo or whatever.
Pomo? Because,
yeah, it might, postmodern.
Oh, I see.
It might have little shards of metal in it.
Oh, but that's what gives it its
tangy flavor. But you got to throw out your Spam or take it back to the store.
Can't you just run a really powerful electromagnet?
Maybe pull out the shards and then you can eat your Spam anyway.
Got all that delicious Spam.
My mom used to feed us Spam.
Well, you know, it must have been nice living in a bunker somewhere. Jeez Louise.
I don't know. It was not bad. They eat a lot of Spam in Hawaii, I understand.
Yeah, that's because they're an island that
can't get anything else.
Yeah,
they got lava flowing down in their house.
Yes.
So we had, I was sorry that I had to end the show with a pork-related recall, and then I discovered Ask Karen.
Karen?
Ask Karen. It's the official poorly drawn white woman of the U.S. Department of Agriculture Food Safety and Information Service, and she will answer all your food safety-related questions as a chatbot will. You log into this thing. And here's what they say about Ask Karen. It says, Ask Karen provides information for consumers about preventing foodborne illness, safe food handling and storage, and safe preparation of meat, poultry, and egg products. It's on the U.S. Department of Agriculture Food Safety and Information Service website.
Now, is this something that perhaps one of those workers in the North Carolina egg farm, if they had gone there, they would have learned not to stick their finger in their gluteal crack?
Intergluteal cleft. Their intergluteal cleft. Yes, they could have asked Karen. The poorly drawn white woman would have said, please don't stick your finger in there. We should actually go on Ask Karen and ask things about egg handling and intergluteal clefts.
You know, a funny thing about salmonella.
Yeah.
Is that it's on the shell, so actually the eggs are fine.
If you're
remotely concerned about it, you can just wash your eggs and do that without breaking them.
You can rinse them off. But I always wondered, like, when you rinse the salmonella off the eggshell, doesn't the salmonella go into like your sink, and then it's in your sink, right?
Yeah, but you're going to be, you know, you just rinse out your sink. I mean, it's like, what do you do with chicken? You rinse off a chicken, right?
I guess. Well, yeah. I don't. I mean, because they advise you not to rinse the chicken anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you get salmonella all over your sink if you rinse your chicken.
See, this is why we have to ask everyone believes fake news, because they're always rewriting the goddamn stories.
They do. They rewrite, like, coffee's bad for you, coffee's good for you, coffee's bad for you, coffee's good for you.
Asbestos red is delicious.
Red wine is good for you. Red wine is terrible for you. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought it was interesting that they named this thing Ask Karen, because I have an Aunt Karen.
You sure do.
And she said something once that was such a watchword when I was growing up, and it was something that I heard so often and from so many people. And I always just accepted it as self-evident truth. And that time that we were back there visiting all my dying relatives, when you and I went for dinner with her and Uncle Bikey, and she fed us that big old, you know, home-cooked meal. And as we were leaving, I looked up at, and I said, it looked like rain up at the sky. And she said, well, they could use some rain. And then she said this thing that I had always heard, and it never struck me as odd until I heard it then, because then I'd been away, right? I'd been to college and stuff. So she said, what's good for the farmer is good for us all. And I thought, when I heard it, I was like, wait, I haven't heard that since I left home. And then I thought, maybe there are people in the world who don't even know that. And I should let them know.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
Exactly. What's good for the farmer is good for us all. So that's how I want to end the show today, is with that thought. And I hope that, you know, people will remember it and think about it and know that it's true. Well, say it with me, Sluggo.
Yes.
Say it with me. What's good for the farmer?
What's good for the farmer?
Is good for us all.
Is good for us all.
That's right.
Yeah, actually, that's true.
It is true. It is true. And people said it so often, and just like it was just a thing that you just took for granted.
Well, you know, when I worked at that national grocery chain,
yes,
I was shocked at how people like just thought food just like came out of some warehouse. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's like, no, I'm sorry, that's they've had this blight of, and there isn't as much milk going around because they had this horrible drought
thing happened.
Yeah,
right.
And it's like it affected all the dairy cow, and they're like, mm-hmm. But I want my milk. I'm like, oh no, it's like, why is it so expensive? It's like, because of this thing. And they're like, but I want it to be cheaper. I was like, yeah, I know, supply and demand, basic economics, come on, wake up, buddy.
They don't understand.
Yes,
that's it.
All right,
this has been Pig Talk.
Vices.
This has been Pig Talk on WFMU. That's the end of it. That's the end of Ham Radio at 91.1 FM.
One last thing.
Yeah.
You wanted to say about the summer schedule starting next week with Gig Talk?
Oh. I'm going to get to that. Yeah.
Sorry.
I was going to do the
station ID.
Station ID. Do you want to do the station ID? Can you read that?
Okay. Here it is. WFMU, East Orange.
Mm-hmm.
WFMU, Mount Hope.
No.
No?
WFMU, East Orange. WMFU.
Oh, wow. Look at that. My dyslexia just kicked right in.
I know. I thought it did.
You did this on purpose.
No, I didn't.
To shame me.
No, I didn't.
Humiliate me.
No, I wanted you to be part of this. Go ahead.
WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM online at WFMU.org.
That's great.
Wow.
So all my thanks. All my love, my lifetime co-host, Sluggo. Thanks. Lifetime co-host.
I'm your co-host.
You are.
Lifetime.
Yeah, thanks for making it possible for me to do this show one last time.
Thank you for doing the show, otherwise, to begin with, because I never would have met you.
I know, that's how we met, because you drew a comic strip about listening to me on the radio.
I wouldn't have drawn a comic strip if it wasn't for you.
We wouldn't have met. And everyone else,
you're
please,
the best.
Aw, so are you, honey. Thank you. I want everyone else to please tune in next week. Matt and Kevin are going to be back. Gig Talk will be back. And the summer schedule is starting. There, I got to it. See?
Ugh.
Yep. The summer schedule is starting next week. And Fabio will be here. And then Gig Talk will be here. And Hardy White will be here. And everything will be normal again. This will all seem as if it were a dream. So stay tuned for Hardy White, and for the last time, thanks for inviting us into your home tonight, and may God bless.
the deep green sea. Watch the tide roll out, watch the tide roll in. Farm girl, walking along, singing a song by the big oak tree. Farm girl, how would you like to be friends with a poor boy like me?
Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we become family. We are family. We are family. I got all my siblings with me. Because we are family. Hey, Butch, I see you're doing some genealogy there. Are you related to the original Baruch Spinoza? I don't think so. I was told that one of my ancestors changed our name to Spinoza from the original family surname of Spam, for obvious reasons. Oh, because of the canned meat. No, because we're rationalists. There was no Spam in the 18th century.
Well, we don't know that.
That's a pretty complete family tree you're looking at. Who's this guy?
Cropmount Jack Viper. Now, there's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
That's a name I haven't heard, ever. Is it, in fact, a name?
Yeah, it's my first cousin twice removed.
So it's one of your grandparents' first cousins?
No, it's my first cousin. It's just that...
Oh, let me take this one. You call him twice removed... because he's been twice removed from family reunions for being drunk.
Not even close. It's because of the time machine. I'm my own grandfather.
Doesn't that mean...
Shut up! So he's both my first cousin and my first cousin twice removed.
I just think that you're mad that I knew the old joke you were about to tell and are so stubborn that you'd rather say that you married your own grandma than that I knew the punchline.
Shut up!
So what got you interested in genealogy, Butchie?
I don't want to lose touch with my family. Oh, in case I need a kidney or bone marrow or some uncle croaks and I got money coming. I think any excuse for staying family is good. I can trace my family all the way back to Portugal, and before that, to Pangea. Pangea? There weren't even humans then. Correct. I am descended from single-cell nobility. I got one of those DNA tests done, and I'm about to get the results. You want to hit that doorbell sound effect for me? Sure. Close enough. I'll get it. Delivery from Mr. Lou Register. Oh, that's me, Hans. How's it going, Lou? Pretty good. This is the results of my DNA test. Oh, I hope you passed. Is it like Bennett Surf Day or something? Why all the corny jokes? People are tired, Lou. I know. Well, open it. I want to see the results. It's a Doctor Who coffee mug. So, what are you, part Gallifreyan? No, I ordered this a while back. Oh, look, I got an email. It's my results. They're online. Pull up the website, Butchie. Okay. Here you go. Lewis Register. Our tests say that you are... Wow. I didn't see that coming. Lou, is that right? That can't be right. You're not what you thought you were. So what? It's just that... So am I adopted or something? Or is my family not telling me something? It could be a lot of things. Not that my background was a huge part of my identity, but this is kind of a shocker. All this is stupid. Everyone is related to everyone else. This is just a reflection of recent concentrations of people. It's political. You know more one thing than another. You don't know anyone farther back than your grandparents anyway. Who are they to you? They're virtual strangers. Butchie's right in a way, Lou. Well, that's not it. I don't care where my ancestors were from. But this means that maybe I've been lied to by my family. Well, that would suck a little. But you don't know that, and you don't know the story, really. But if I were you, I'd call your grandma and ask what gives. I don't know that I can do that. That's why I just emailed her. She'll clear this up, or be ridiculously shocked herself. Butchie! I'm curious. And then again, I'm not. I'm not sure I want to know. I love my family, and they love me. And it's not really that important where my ancestors came from. Your recent ancestors. Look, man, humans go back pretty far, and then you run into the problem of what's a human. Things are blurry and mixed up. I'm agreeing with Butchie a lot, which is weird. I want to show you something. Come with me. Time machine? Correct. I'm going to introduce you to your ancestors. How do you even know who they are? Because now, even I don't. I don't need to know. Get in. I'll set the coordinates. Where are we headed? I want you to put the following sequence of numbers in. All right, ready. 010. And that's it. Those aren't coordinates, Butchie. Trust me. Oh, no.